Today on the post game, Nick and I catch up after a week hiatus. We talk Super Bowl, talk a little bit about the NBA trade deadline. Nick has a very exciting update with the NLL. Then we get into college lacrosse, kind of do a week one and two review, talk about the hottest teams in the country right now. Those are pretty much the highlights, so hope you guys enjoy.
Don't cry. Don't cry. It's the last episode. Just smile that we're here. Smile because it happened. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. And because college lacrosse has officially kicked off. We had week one. I mean, we technically had week zero, and this was kind of like week one, but Notre Dame didn't play, so it didn't even count as week one. But two of the
it's
best.
Week three, ever. Dude. Oh, no, it's week two. You're right. I'm just thinking Syracuse-wise.
Yeah, well, week zero is like when Syracuse beats the fuck out of somebody. Week one is like, all right, well, Notre Dame didn't play, so it can't be considered week one. So right now it's week one, actually, because Notre Dame's beating Marquette.
Yeah.
But again, last episode, part five. Don't think we ever recorded the part four episode. Maybe we released that to the Disney Vault.
Yeah, I don't think we released it.
Before any of that, how was the weekend?
My weekend was epic. So Friday night I went to, so actually I'm at work on Thursday and I went out, I ran out to do something. I'm coming back to the office, checking my group chat and open up Twitter. And the first thing I see when I open up Twitter is that Vladimir Tarasenko was dealt to the New York Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course I'm excited. But I'm even more excited because my friend and I, 3 weeks ago, purchased tickets for the Friday night game against the Seattle Kraken.
Mm.
And the Rangers traded for Tarasenko the day before. 30 minutes after, Drury is like, they're definitely playing tomorrow because they traded for two players. So Tarasenko goes in. Friday night, I get down to my favorite bar pre-MSG is Tierna Nog. It's like a classic Irish pub. Crushing Guinness. I had a shepherd's pie. It was immaculate.
Dude, shepherd's pie is so good. Underrated.
Underrated. Great food. My mom makes a freaking mean one too, which is awesome. So
good for
I ate that all the time. Anyway, it's me and my buddy and our girlfriends. And we're just, you know, when you're, I mean, I know you're not a big gambler, but you know, when you're just, the vibes are so high and you're going to something, you're just like, this is more for the listeners. I know you don't really live like this, but you're just like, wow, I like this. I like that. I text him at like 7 a.m. I'm like, I got bad news. I can see every player scoring tonight. So we place a million prop bets for this game. Tarasenko scores. The building's erupting. Like, it's already pumped. He's starting. He scores in the first like 4 minutes of the game. Of course, we bet on him to score. We hit five prop bets in the first 10 minutes of this game.
Oh,
and we're like millionaires in the first period. So then we're just like going all out. It was crazy. They won. Like, it was awesome. I won like $500 at the Rangers game. So then I left. I went to Shane Dawes' show. Always a good time. Went with a bunch of Q's boys. And then Saturday was my buddy, Harry Kucharczyk, who's a listener of the podcast, played Yale lacrosse. It was his birthday. So we went to this place. Dude, we went to like this brunch place and they kind of like MC it. So one guy, like the DJ would be playing and you're like, you know, there's like 10 tables maybe. So there's like 10 different parties there. We had a really big group. This guy's emceeing the thing and he's like, he goes to us. He calls out my one buddy to come up. And we also all dressed like idiots too. Like, it was stupid theme.
What kind of idiots? Funny. Like jerseys?
Like tailgate. Shirts. No, like tailgate at Yale idiots, which like I don't know if you've ever seen the way they dress, but they literally like, they'll wear like Rex Kwon-Do costumes to the tailgates for the Yale football games. So his like tailgate gear, like I wore gold MC Hammer pants and like a t-shirt of Hasbulla like this. Like, it was just like ridiculous outfit. They call my buddy up and he's like, if you chug a liter of OJ in 12 seconds, your whole party, which there was like 30 of us, get free shots. And my friend fucking did it. And it was like, so we were going nuts. Like, I went crazy. Like, he just hit like a buzzer beater corner three. But then the guy,
how much fucking, is that? You said a liter?
It's like, it's probably, yeah, it's like, I mean, it's like a big Coke bottle, like a shareable Coke bottle you could get from a pizzeria place.
In how long?
12 seconds. And he downed it. It was like one of those glass ones. So it was a little bit like bigger mouth, but he's like, I drink water out of those. So I knew like exactly what the physics were behind it and like how much were coming. So he gunned it. The whole place goes fucking nuts. They're like, no one's ever done that before. So then the guy's just making us do all these fucking challenges until we like lose them. And then he's like, all right, you're not getting your shots. It was such fucking bullshit, but it was hilarious and awesome. And then the last thing, I just had the Super Bowl. So I chilled Super Bowl Sunday. I had a pretty big weekend. So just chilled on my couch with my girlfriend. You can't order food on Super Bowl Sunday. I tried to order food and got fucked. I ended up getting Domino's like at 10 p.m. and then I just pounded it and felt like shit all day the next day. So note to self, always go like the cooking route. And then I watched I did hedge my Eagles future, but I was pretty pissed the Eagles. I would have won like $1,300 in a weekend if the Eagles won. So it would have been nice. But that's my weekend. Oh, right. Last thing. I got cleared. My ACL. I'm good to go. I'm back hooping. Placid, you're done for. Pickleball, tennis, the world's mine. Okay.
First off, congratulations.
Thanks. Less than a year.
It goes unspoken. I mean, honestly, it goes unspoken just how much it sucks ass to tear your ACL after college when you have shit to do, when there's a job, when you got this, when you can't just be like, oh, I got to miss class. I got to go to the trainer.
Garbage.
So congratulations on that being completely in the rear view. And here's to not dealing with that ever again. Knock on wood, take a shot.
Yeah, holy shit. Stuff.
Let me clarify just one thing. I let you speak. I'm a fucking gambler, but I'm not in a financial place to gamble. So for all you listeners out there, I know exactly what Evan's talking about, waking up and looking at all the juicy lines. I had a phase in my life where I did that, and then it's just been a rough 3 years. Luckily, we're getting everything back on track. Fucking pay us, or we'll put this behind a Patreon, motherfuckers. Go buy t-shirts and all that good stuff, and things are going better, but not so good that I can just wake up and Yakimo $500. So hearing that, please keep sharing. Please keep sharing those stories is what I'm getting at. My weekend was good. I kind of felt like shit, got a little, it wasn't sick, but I didn't feel 100% really at any point during the weekend. And that always sucks, where I just felt like I didn't get a good night's sleep, even though I slept like 9 hours the night before type situation. I don't know what it was. I didn't like it. That being said, powered through, went to, took the dog for a nice long walk, went to a park. I'm in Dallas still. So we went to a park that had a lake, had birds flying around, a little bit of nature action, tuckered the dog out, went to a brewery. And then we went, there's sneaky, this really sick spot in Dallas called Adriatica. And it is so clearly a bunch of guys in Texas had money and they just got back from a boys trip to like Croatia or Italy. And they literally made like a 3-block. This is going to be fucking Croatia. So what's weird is like you go and you park and you're like, damn, there's like the clock tower with the fucking church, like the cross atop. And it looks like a church, but it's not because it's in Texas and they don't have like old timey churches. Like there's cobblestone roads. There's like all this kind of weird ambiance. There's a lake across from multi-million dollar houses. So you kind of feel a little bit like you're in Lake Como. You're like, I literally felt like I wasn't in Dallas. And so we're like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go have a drink. Let's go have a glass of wine. Let's get dinner there. The dinner sucked dick. It was terribly prepared. It was not tasty. I got like some pasta dish. My girlfriend got lukewarm broccoli cheddar soup, which is the worst soup to have come out.
Oh, yeah. You can't fuck around with that.
And the waitress was fantastic. So we took like a couple courtesy bites and we were like, let's just tip her and get the fuck out of here. So honestly, you know, for feeling under the weather, accomplished a little bit. And then we banked on let's just cook. I'm talking, here's the spread. Buffalo chicken dip, pigs in a blanket, bagel bites, wings, a charcuterie board, and chili. And I think that's it.
Is Pigs in a Blanket like the universal number one like finger food, you think? What do you think? Like, what would top that? I don't want to do a draft because I kicked your ass in the drafts, but.
Well, yeah, you cheat. I don't know how, but you do.
But like, where are you? Like, what's your Mount Rushmore of like hors d'oeuvres?
Can we like, I guess it's different because Super Bowl Sunday, like we just hammered the frozen food aisle for half of it.
All right, let me paint you a better picture.
Yeah.
You just sat through a wedding ceremony and now you're going to the cocktail hour. Mm-hmm. What are the four Mount Rushmore, four things you mm-hmm. want the waiters and waitresses walking
Number
around?
One is Pigs in a Blanket with honey mustard. Yes, like I just don't say it, dude. Not even close. The second, I am a sucker for like almost a mini spring roll where you can like kind of cut it in half and it still maintains its integrity and it's like tasty.
Yeah. And then when you bite it, it doesn't like get everywhere. It's yeah. like you get your
it's,
teeth
it's
through
mostly
it.
It's mostly crunch with like a little bit of filling.
Yeah.
I'll put, let's see, fried mac and cheese balls on there. Ooh. Just to get the cheese aspect of it.
You do run the risk though of the.
Yep. That and you run the risk of if it's cold, you're just eating a brick of cheese, and that also sucks. And then we'll round it out with a little seafood item with a little shrimp cocktail. Honorable mention, deviled eggs, which is a polarizing take. I fucking love deviled eggs. They smell like farts and I still really have like five on.
Oh, I love hard boiled eggs, so I'm sure I'd like them.
Then they're crack. Like, don't have one or you'll just make them all the time. All right, that's honestly a pretty good little off the.
That's a solid roundup. I mean, who's beating that starting four?
I mean, honestly, no chance, nobody.
Yeah,
but because I took the easy ones.
Yeah, but Pigs in a Blanket are just like that's MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good little breakdown.
Yeah.
You had anything else on your weekend? I kind of cut you off, but I needed to know.
No, honestly, Valentine's Day doesn't count as a weekend.
No, I just had it in there as like a thing that happened yesterday. But you know what's the best part about it is there's no, it's not really like, I'll give you an example, like there's no restaurant reservations on Valentine's Day in the city really available, like nowhere you want to go. And it's also like some places have stupid menus, like prefix menus, and they don't have everything you want. So if you go to a place you want to go to, it's like you're not even getting the full experience. It's a very easy holiday to be like, let's just do it on Thursday if it's on a Tuesday. So like I'm going out to Valentine's dinner tomorrow.
That's the play. That's
It's just nice that it's not like Christmas, like this is the day, like you have to like see your family kind of thing. I like Thanksgiving's obviously on one day every year. So I don't know. I just feel like it's a good holiday to like move around to fit your schedule, but it's like a nice little reminder to do something.
So just little talking to the fellas. This one's for the fellas, real quick. My girlfriend's one of those. Fuck Valentine's Day. It's capitalist. Like, you know, what we need a day to tell each other we love each other. I'm like, okay, I got it. I also remember there being optional workouts in college that weren't exactly optional. And everybody was like, yeah, fuck these workouts. What is Valentine's Day is the captain's practice and optional workout of all holidays. Do not fall for it. If you did, that's on you. I'm sorry. If you're an 18-year-old listening, learn a lesson, you know, always do just a little something. If you're in your mid to late 20s, right in our target demo, by the way, and you fumbled the bag, that's on you. Learn it, be better. And I don't hope you get dumped, but I hope you're in the doghouse a little bit. So that was a good analogy, is just that it's the optional workout of holidays.
Yeah, that was a good analogy. It is like, it is tough though, because like, some people go all out. Like, to me, like, we don't do, oh, like, the guy's buying dinner thing or something like that. Like, I'll buy her dinner on her birthday. But, like, I'm not, like, Valentine's Day, where it's just, like, a really, like, set day that we're going out and then, like, get each other candy and a nice card. But, like, other than that, it's kind of, like, pretty standard night out to dinner.
We had a fun little, like, let's do a Valentine's Day dinner. And the only rule was it needed to be a place that we hadn't been. And then we kind of acted a little like Valentine's Day sucks, but like, what if we like went out to dinner, you know, just to make fun of the other Valentine's people. So we ended up have you ever had Detroit style pizza?
I've had Little Caesars at Joe Louis Arena.
That very well might
qualify. I mean, that's as Detroit as
that's not that Detroit.
Yeah.
Not that far.
Yeah, holy shit.
For the people, that's way more Detroit than I've ever had. But there's this pizza spot, it's called Killa Pie, and they serve like Detroit style pizza with like, they put some cheese on the edge and they bake it in a tin sheet, so it's thicker, but it's not like heavy thick. It's a little bit fluffier of a dough, but like the corners have this little cheese crunch to it. I had an old fashioned. I had one. You know, I'm trying to be better.
Oh,
one
on the Reggie. That falls in the Reggie.
Call me crazy. Had pizza, but I did abs right after. I did the workout and all that stuff. So
there you go.
But it was kind of funny to be like, I'm a little bit of the lovey-dovey, and she's like, fuck this. And I'm like, yeah, let's go make fun of all those other couples.
Yeah. It's just a tough spectrum. Like, some people will be all in and other people will be like, let's not even do anything. So
it is tough. It is
you gotta find
the worst day on Instagram. I'm like,
oh yeah,
dude.
See, like, I don't even post anything on Instagram. It's like, you can't even get like, no one's even gonna see that shit because it's just everybody's freaking posting. Like,
yeah,
so what is even the point?
I just did it just to piss her off, honestly. She was like, what the fuck, why are you posting? I told you I don't like Valentine's Day. And I'm like, yeah, but I love you. So honestly, that's a veteran move, having it be on the Thursday after.
Yeah, now we got a great day, and no one wants to go out that Thursday because they already went out the Thursday before. Mm-hmm. So now you got a free rant. I'm going to friggin' Bond Street Sushi, great restaurant. Usually can't get a res. Got it like that.
Nice.
Perfect. All right, let's move on to the Super Bowl because we have a lot to talk about, not a lot of time. Do you have any takeaways from the Super Bowl? I already talked about my future that I did hedge, so we don't need to get into that. I do have a hot take.
What's your hot take?
I don't think I like Patrick Mahomes.
Why?
One, like, he's not cool. He's not like annoying, but he's definitely not cool. Like, I think Jalen Hurts is like a way cooler than Patrick Mahomes. Like, I think Joe Burrow is way cooler than Patrick Mahomes. He's got like this somewhat like cringe thing about him, but he's also like, he also could be a way bigger loser. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he could be, you know, Tom Brady when he was like in 2008, when he was like crying on ESPN after winning 5 Super Bowls, go fuck yourself. Or he could be like, I mean, I love future Jet Aaron Rodgers to death, but he could be like Aaron Rodgers, who like seems like he's pretty weird. So
Aaron
I don't
know. Rodgers is going off the, he's like trying to go find Hat Man in the fucking quantum realm.
He's going
to
win a Jets Super Bowl though this year. So
if he defeats
Hat Man starting at wide receiver.
Yeah. Jesus.
He's just like not that cool. Like, I'm not like, that guy's fucking awesome.
I think there's something a little off. Somebody was described this way like years ago, and I'll just remember it as the best catch-all for this type of person. He's like what happens when like the aliens programmed a human and didn't get it quite right on like social situations,
like that.
And like reading. They were like, this is what a human does.
But yeah,
it's not what a human is. Like, either be a complete douchebag weirdo or be cool or have moments of either.
Yeah.
Like, for you to just kind of, you know, it's really cool. Like, I'm like, yeah, it's just, there's something I can't put my finger on that makes me dislike him. It makes me like not
Kelsey,
trust him.
Yeah. Like, Kelsey feels so natural, like yelling at the fans and stuff and hyping everybody up. And then, like, Mahomes just like, let's go. Just like,
boy, did I want Kelsey to shut up though.
Yeah, he was being loud. I kind of like, he like reminds me of a WWE wrestler though. So like, I kind of like it just because he's entertaining.
I hate him because, you know, if I ever screamed into a mic like, you gotta fight for your right, the crowd would just be dead silent.
I know.
If you can yell that and have everybody respond. Well, that's got to be the pinnacle human feeling,
yeah,
ever.
And he fucking dresses like a rapper when he goes to the game. He's swaggy as fuck. You got to give it to him. Other stuff. I mean, what'd you think of the last call? I feel like every fucking sports podcast in America has talked about it, but what'd you think of that little holding play?
Wow, here's a real shocker. Yes, it was a hold. Yes, you can't call that. Like every other reasonable sports take.
Yeah.
You know, the defender admitted he held. You could see it being a hold. That's what did we come up with it on the last episode that wasn't released? That it was like the exponential impact on the game hold, like penalty.
Yes, because we're talking about the offsides of like hockey and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So for those that didn't listen to the last episode, which is literally everybody because we didn't release it, it was it was like the referee tolerance meter, and the bigger the impact on the game, the inverse effect on what you're willing to call. So if it's deciding the Super Bowl, he should have had to like kill the guy. But yeah, just a shitty way. Cause I was ready for fireworks. It was a great game the entire time. I would really love whatever they gave Patrick Mahomes at halftime. Like, hey, you got some backing. Yeah. Here's like horse tranquilizer.
Dude. Well, that's another reason why I don't like him is he's limping around like a fucking war veteran. And then he's like running around fashion everybody. It's like, dude, like don't fucking limp around then. And like, yeah, maybe he had like something put in his foot, I guess, but like, he was still limping even after the half. Like he was acting like there, the hurt him.
There is 100%, and you have to have played sports at a high level to know. There's not really a way that you can like turn off limping. Like people who don't fucking play sports would be like, oh my god, like he just gutted it out to win the Super Bowl. I'm like, he very well could have ran, but there still would have needed to be a limp, or he should have been limping. Like that gap was too big. There's no way
the disparity between him walking to the sidelines and him running for a first down. Like the Eagles defense is fucking amazing. Like there's no way you're outrunning everybody for 30 yards and then sliding like gracefully. I was like, fuck you, dude. Of course, like I was watching $800 slip out of my finger, so I'm really mad. But yeah, it just pissed me off. Did you see the Juju Smith-Schuster tweet?
There was like all kinds of beef going on. I'm a little late on the Twitter beef there.
It's like kind of lame with sometimes the players just try too hard. Like honestly, like he basically posted yesterday like a Valentine's Day card of James Bradbury, who was the corner who held him to basically lose the Super Bowl. And it said, "I'll hold you when it matters most," which is like pretty funny, but like why are you even doing that, dude? Also, like it'd be better if he played well, but I think he had like two catches in three playoff games or something. Mm-hmm. So then everyone was like piling on him, and it was just like I feel like Eli Apple almost broke NFL Twitter to the point where like everyone's trying to figure out exactly who to be on social media in the NFL, and it's just like, dude, just like ignore idiot trolls and be funny. But now they're like trying to like dunk on Juju so hard. It's like I wasn't really on anyone's side except for James Bradbury's by the end of it. Like I was just like everybody seems corny in this. So I don't know. Yeah. I think Eli, I love the Eli Apple stuff. he might have got a little over the top of the Damar Hamlin thing, but whatever. Anyway, I'm not defending Eli Apple, but I do think he did it right. And then people kind of
like, ooh, that must be fun to stir up a big drama.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're going to love this. It just flops.
They're going to love you. We couldn't be us, though. I've never had a tweet that I'm like, they're going to love this.
I just had one. I made a funny-ass fucking meme.
What'd you say?
I made this meme of, like, you season four, but I put Christopher Moltisanti as the guy, and I called it yous. That's funny. But, like, it's got fucking 10 likes. It's just bullshit. But
let me boost that a little bit.
I'll tweet Joey Spallina as him, and I'll get, like, 600 likes.
Dude, it's so funny. Now that we're in the apparel game, some of these parents are like, yeah, and what do the kids like? And I'm like, dude, I don't have a goddamn clue. And if I did, I sure as hell wouldn't tell you. I'd sell it myself.
Yeah. all right. I guess that's everything on the Super Bowl. Oh, halftime show. I have another hot take. I was like very underwhelmed. I thought it was impressive that she was pregnant and doing it. Like, I'll say that. And I think she has bangers. Like, she's a banger catalog. That's confirmed. No argument there. The show itself was underwhelming. Like, and she probably couldn't do anything physically because she's, I think she's like 4 months pregnant. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I compare it to past shows. You got fucking 50 Cent last year reenacting the In the Club video. Then you got J-Lo and Shakira, like, breaking it down, dancing their asses off, literally. And it's just like...
That's what's not talked about, is what was spectacular about Rihanna's performance was, like, the logistics of getting the suspensions and everything like that. Yeah, honestly, like, it's... I wasn't blown away. Dancers dressed in white running out.
Yeah, that's great.
Really been my favorite part. Yeah,
that's going to be a Friday beers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gotta say, though, I was one of the people that I was like, yeah, I like a couple of Rihanna's songs. And then every time a new song would start, I'd be like, no, like, this one's a banger. Like, you don't understand.
It's true. Yeah.
What's your number one? Number one Rihanna song?
Ooh. I mean,
give me your Mount Rushmore of Rihanna.
Oh, okay.
Because you put me on the spot with
Yeah, I mean, that's easy. We're talking about food. Now we're talking about Rihanna songs. I'm a sucker for What's My Name. I mean, I can sing it anytime it comes on. That might be a little bit of a soft answer. But if everybody's disagreeing with that, you're either like 14 or you're lying to yourself.
Mm-hmm. You need to just look up her discography.
No. I'm trying to think of the We Found Love in a Hopeless Place.
That's my number one by a lot.
I like thought I was a sucker for Umbrella, and then my girlfriend was like, I don't like that song. And then I kind of like agreed with her. I'll go SOS.
Mm-hmm.
I might say fucking Pondé Replay, dude.
Mm.
That gets me going.
Yeah. There's no wrong answers.
Yeah, it goes one by one.
Except for
two by two. If you're at a bar and you start hearing,
come Mr. DJ,
come Pondé Replay. You're bobbing your head for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. All right. That's where Mount Rushmore. Book it.
Good.
Put it right next to the cocktail weenies.
Only wrong one was Work. I actually hate that song. It's the only miss.
I didn't say Work.
No, I'm saying that was the only incorrect answer if you were to say that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Cool. I was going to talk about Jackson Mahomes, but we don't really have to. The only thing that's crazy, I saw a really funny meme about it, is Pat Sr. has been in, like, the media a lot recently and, like, figuring out how he relates and talks to Jackson Mahomes is really funny to think about. So
I need to see the Mahomes mother. Like the dad saying smoking on that Joe Burrow after they beat the Bengals as he lights up a cigar.
Jackson Mahomes like dancing behind Pat while he's
That actually made me laugh out loud, was Patrick being kind of weird and then Mahomes or Jackson just being a clown in the background. I very much got. And again, for those that didn't listen to the last episode, Jackson Mahomes actually cut off my girlfriend and her friends at a wedding because he was the bartender, because they're from Texas, like a couple of years ago. So, So I personally.
Oh yeah, I forgot we hated the Chiefs because of that.
Yeah.
All right, not too much to touch on. I mean, NHL. We already talked about the Tarasenko trade. So I mean, the Rangers are right there with the Bruins, best team in the NHL. But that's all I'm saying.
Easy.
They have like the same record since, I don't know, fucking December or some shit. So like, at this point, they're looking good. NBA trade deadline was, to make it related to lacrosse, I can't believe how much shit we got for the Pinnell Woods thing like 2 years ago, where like people are like staying up to 1 a.m. for Shams to like tweet who's getting traded and stuff. But the PLL needs to post every single trade. Like, it would be so good if like random people were trying to like figure it out. And I know like there aren't that many journalists, but like even if fucking Dan and Ty Zanders were fucking like competing to release trades, it would be like interesting and just add another wrinkle. Like, who cares where it comes from? As long as like the PLL is being talked about. Like, that's what matters. So just like to tie, like that would have been like the Kevin Durant trade should have been the Pinnell trade, but instead Shams got all his flowers and we got shadow banned.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, it's a tough, cold world. Thank God we're strong men and better for it.
Yeah. And but
tough day to be a member of the lacrosse community when Kyrie got sent to Dallas. There was a lot of Joe Tsai slander. I didn't like a single one of them. I'm gonna take do a little hot take here. I didn't like it. Keep your mouth shut. Keep his name out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Also, could I work that for Alibaba?
Yeah. I mean, Joe Tsai. The Nets really blew up there.
So hey, listen, that's Evan. Any takes? You're a New York guy.
I mean, I think he's
done
it.
A great job.
I think that, yeah, I mean, the Knicks are better than the Nets now. Snap a finger. So I'm all for it. Yeah, I mean, hey, once Kyrie was gone, I guess like it's a good move to trade Durant and rebuild again. But it was just weird. They were four in the East. Like, they easily could have competed, but Kyrie just wasn't a fit. So we'll move on. I'm sure Joe had his reasons.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, Kyrie going from New York to Dallas, honestly, having spent time in Dallas generally suits him. There's no shortage of crazies here. And I feel like he kind of fits the bill in a couple different ways. So, all right, let's move on. Positive update. I'm going to be on ESPN2 on Friday. Pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's sick, dude.
I'm staying up late doing some prep. It's going to be the Saskatchewan, which, by the way, the fact that my first time on ESPN2 is Saskatchewan, which is such a fucking brutal city name.
Oh, yeah.
Because I, you know, and what the shortened version of it that people say is Sask. So it's either Saskatchewan or Sask. And then if you say Saskatchewan, you sound like an idiot. So you got to be really careful. Thank God there aren't too many difficult names. But the Saskatchewan Rush at San Diego Seals. Evan, this is a measuring stick of measuring sticks.
Wait, when is that?
This is Friday, 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Oh, dude, I might be coming to San Diego and landing on Friday at 8:30
p.m.?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Sticking around. My girlfriend's going to be there this weekend.
All right. Well, I got to figure it out. I might not be coming. I got some stuff going on, so I have to figure it out. But
Work stuff.
I mean, I have to travel for work, but I planned to go a little bit early. But then I have like some potential plans now that I might have to stay in the city for. So I'm trying to figure it out. But right now, my flight is booked from 5 p.m. to. I take off at 5 p.m. here and land at 8:23 in San Diego. So yeah. I'll let you know.
All right.
That would be sick, though, if we had a little reunion.
Dude, that'd be incredible. I'm flying out on Sunday afternoon. I'm making a weekend of it. I'm staying the whole time.
All right, yeah, so I would be there, but I think I'm leaning towards staying, so I got to figure that out.
That's all right. Keep me posted. That'd be sick. We'd have to play levels as we gave each other a big hug. No peanut butter wings this time. but, yeah, ESPN2. This is the big – What does blow my mind, and I'm glad I have my broadcast partner, Cooper Perkins, shout out Cooper, to keep me level-headed, is he kind of let it slip. Not that he's, like, super excited that this is a big moment, but he's like, dude, some people work their whole careers and never get this opportunity. And I'm like, this is, like, maybe my 20th game. But up, ESPN2. So super pumped about that. No swear words. Everybody, if you're listening, watch, and we'll go from there. Okay, good NLL update. Dude, you want to talk college lacrosse for the first time in a minute?
Yeah, let's fucking do it.
You tell me the game that you want to start out on.
I don't think we really need to start with a game just because, like, there's two under everybody's belt. So I was thinking we just, like, touch on a few teams that are – like sort of buzzing right now. One, and it pains me to say this, and now it's like kind of less because I lost to UNC last night, but Hopkins, there's a Hopkins is back train, and I don't really see it, but everybody else seems to see it. Even like I saw people saying like Hopkins shouldn't be unranked even though they lost to UNC, but also people think UNC sucks. So the Hopkins homers, like, people will kick them when they're down for sure, but there is way more passes for Hopkins than Syracuse. Like, if Syracuse loses a game, they're going to be like, oh, they suck this year. Hopkins is like, oh, well, UNC is good. UNC owns Hopkins, blah, blah, blah. It's like, shut the fuck up. So I can't help but to root against Hopkins. I also think I'm going to go to Syracuse Hopkins, the retiring Mikey Powell's jersey in the fucking dome, March 11th. So I think I'm going to go to that. And I'm going to heckle the shit out of Hopkins.
You want to hear something? You want to hear something that I'm about to say?
Yeah.
Syracuse is going to win that game by 10 goals.
I totally agree.
That's going to be a dick kicking. So Hopkins, everybody gets excited. Hopkins gets one little win under their belt. They beat Georgetown.
First game with 20 transfers playing too, might I add.
And good. Everybody's so fired up about Hopkins. I said it on another thing. Put that boner on ice. Put your dick in the freezer. Realize it's not that big. You guys lost to UNC, who is going to be the worst team in the ACC. Sneaky thing about this entire season, I now have to actually fucking root for UNC big time. That's a big win come playoff time for the RPI and the ACC and all that shit.
Huge.
I'll tell you one thing. I've never been this invested in February lacrosse. Duke loses to Jacksonville, which we'll touch on in a little bit. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? You just screwed Notre Dame and potentially Syracuse and potentially yourselves out of a playoff spot, just RPI-wise.
Yeah.
Totally. So this UNC win over Hopkins is fantastic for two reasons. One, we are now completely all aboard the ACC train. I don't care who it is. If it's ACC versus non-ACC, we are pulling for the ACC. Even if it's Army, maybe.
Yes.
And combine that with the fact that now if Hopkins won that game, it'd already be insufferable.
People be saying they should be a top 16.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that true?
They moved up to six. They moved up to six in someone's poll I saw. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. They get moved up to six for beating Georgetown, who, by the way, might suck. Don't forget they lost to Delaware in the playoffs and lost some players, and they got some players, but who gives a shit? This was my
Tucker had like
game.
60 fucking goals in 5 minutes. I'm like, why the fuck did you transfer?
Yeah, Jesus, dude.
Can you imagine if he was on that team with those young guys? It'd be like the perfect fucking team.
Yeah. Whatever. Where do you have Hopkins ranked truly? Not right now, but just over the course of the season. Where do you see them finishing?
Where do I see them finishing?
Yeah.
I'd have to look at their schedule. Like, I don't know it that well. But, like, let me think. I don't think if they play, like, Ohio State once, I don't think they're going to beat Ohio State. I don't think they're going to beat Maryland. I'd probably put them at.
I have a number in my head.
A number in the rankings. Mm-hmm. I'll say they will have like a game. They'll have a dogfight with Michigan, and depending on how many games they've already lost, like they'll either overlook Michigan or like barely beat them. So they'll finish like three in the Big Ten. I'm not forgetting anybody now. So I'd say they finish three in the Big Ten and probably like 17 in the country.
Good. I had 16. I had 16. So congratulations. That's your ceiling. Nick and Evan agreeing on something. Hopkins, you guys suck. You're 16, 17.
Yeah. I mean, all the Ivy League teams, all the ACC teams, Maryland. Oh, I forgot about Rutgers in the Big
Ten. Yep.
I don't think they're
Maryland, Rutgers, Ohio State.
Nah, I don't think Rutgers is good. Ohio State, though. I'll even give them that. Fuck you.
Yeah. So Georgetown, I think Georgetown sucks now. Bye-bye. You lost to Hopkins, who lost to UNC. Transitive property. You guys are dorks. Anything on Georgetown?
No, I mean, I think is there a goalie still, the McElroy kid?
No clue.
I'm gonna look it up. Because when I was watching it with sound. I'm not sure. But he's good, so I don't want to say what I was going to say if he's on the team. I feel like he is still. But how could that kid still be in school?
I don't know. He took notes from Maryland last
year. I guess fucking Nicky Solomon's still in school and on the roster. Holy shit.
That blows my mind.
No, I don't think Owen McElroy is still on the roster.
That kid on Georgetown's name is Michael Scharfenberger.
That kid's from Manhasset. That was the kid that I gave lessons to. I think he's a starting goalie.
Manhasset and Deerfield. That's sick. Yeah, that's a sick name.
He's the key to the team because he's gotta play well for them to win.
All right. So Georgetown's season comes down to how good of a training coach.
Literally, Morris. Yeah, there you go. I will take credit for the Georgetown Final Four trip.
And if they don't, it's because the kid wasn't listening. So you probably should have taken notes and paid attention a little bit more. Speaking of goalies,
I love how I didn't know who the goalie was and somebody actually.
Yeah, and I was like, you were training him. But that's the post-game difference. That's what we do better.
I wasn't watching it with sound, though, and I haven't really paid attention to anything. So I was just, like, watching it from afar, and I was like, oof.
I had a great transition that you cut off, by the way.
Okay.
Speaking of goalies, bad news coming out of College Park. McNanny out for the season. ACL tear. That they kind of, like, I don't know if you saw it. Terry gave me a great breakdown, but he was like, yeah, they, like, called a timeout coming out of halftime, like before the third quarter started, to extend it. He was wearing sweatpants. He wasn't wearing sweatpants. He was wearing a brace. He wasn't wearing a brace. Bro, it's your knee. Just don't fucking play the rest of the game and try to at least salvage it or save it. I think there was a diving play that potentially injured it. I don't want to speak on a game that I didn't watch, but first off, great to see Maryland losing. Sorry to start off on a bad ACL goalie note. I'm sure that hits home for you, but you know, all the 27 and 28-year-old recent graduates from Maryland that were getting a little cocky, glad they had to put their boner on ice and realize their dicks aren't as big as they were supposed to be. And start of a new era. I'm done. I'm done with Maryland being good. I think we're going back to most ACC teams would beat Maryland. And I like it. Maryland's out, Hopkins out, Georgetown out. We all have a reason to hate them and think that they stink. And the ACC, Duke always loses in February. So Maryland losing is a great thing.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, it's a great thing. Also, like, I feel like offensively, this is the first year where they really, really feel like mortal. Like, they definitely have good players. Don't get me wrong. But it's not like, all right, no one's going to guard this fucking guy. Like, they're definitely going to get, like, have their way with the defense, you know? Like, it's just like, it doesn't feel that way this time. They basically don't have the best player on their team, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's refreshing. I mean, the McNaney injury sucks for him just because he's a great player. But again, like, it is going to make the playing field a little bit easier. So, like, this is really the first, or more level, I should say. So this is really the first time in a while where, like, the whole Final Four feels, like, very, very open. That's exciting. I think there's, like, 10 fucking teams that could win the championship.
Teams that could win the championship off the top of my head. Virginia, Notre Dame, Syracuse, Duke, UNC. I don't really see any other teams besides them winning it. So if you're not in that group, suck it. I hate to say it, and just we're agreeing a little bit too much, but I do generally agree with that. Is even Virginia got played close by Michigan for a little bit. So, like,
yeah,
number one's not impervious, number two lost. I mean, Notre Dame's beating Marquette.
But Marquette's covering.
What is it? I thought it was 13.
Spread's 9.5. Yeah, the spread's 9.5.
Jesus, that's a spread.
Yeah, I was shocked by that.
God, 9.5. I mean, credit to Notre Dame for being that good.
Credit to Vegas for really knowing. Really
yeah. Great. Also, one of the teams that's being slept on that we're going to be on the wagon on all year, none other, a little program I like to call Merrimack. I don't know if you know this or not, but I've been a pretty big fan. I went and scouted their team, scouted their university, blacked out with my girlfriend and her family, blacked out with all the parents in the parking lot last year. Quality program for a couple reasons. One, the drinks that they pour in the parking lot of that stadium are stiff. Number two, good snacks all around in the parking lot. Number three, the trip from the stands to the parking lot at halftime so that you can just not make good decisions and not remember the second half. Not a very long trip. You didn't have to walk very far. Honestly, that's my scout. They're 3-0. They're taking on Dartmouth soon. And Final Four contender? I mean, potentially. Very, very close.
They haven't lost. There's only three teams that haven't lost in College lacrosse. Can you name them?
Virginia. Notre Dame. And Merrimack. Are you saying haven't lost or 3-0?
3-0, I think.
Merrimack. Navy. And UMass. And Syracuse. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because Syracuse beat the dog. All right, that's a great transition. So, I mean, talking about two historical and great programs, Merrimack and Syracuse, I think that's a great head-to-head matchup. But, Evan, what are you seeing from Syracuse out there?
All right, first I want to touch on the Spallina game one against Vermont, which was a few weeks ago. But he shot one for 15. So everyone's on his case about how he like didn't play well and all this shit. If you watch the game, and I actually have a question for you. Can you tell me when the last time a true freshman not only like started on a team, but was like the true number one option on a team in game one, day one? Not Connor Schellenberger, not Brendan O'Neill, not Pat Kavanaugh.
Matt Kavanaugh?
Was he?
Not really. I kind of just wanted to say.
Like number one option, like go. And he was beating his man, getting shots. I mean, they didn't go in. He was like hitting the goal in the fucking foot. I'm sure he was getting pissed. He still scored like the game winning goal, basically. So I was fine with that. But like I tried to tweet this and it was too many words. And then I like had shit to do. But no one in like at any big conference was any big school has like carried that load, though, like what he's carrying, not to mention at Syracuse running 22. So like the fact that he was getting that much hate, if you actually watch the game, I think a lot of people bet on Syracuse -2.5 and lost money because he didn't score at the end and really wanted to get on his case. But like after that, I was excited. Fast forward to Albany. He fucking torches Albany and looks like all the part. And then Holy Cross was just awful. So he like, I don't even think he moved his feet once, but he had 5 goals. So all that's to say, I think it might be Lyle Thompson, but I think Lyle Thompson played midfield as a freshman. So I don't even think it's Lyle Thompson. I can't think of anybody. So if someone can name someone, maybe Ben Reeves, I don't think so. I'm like, I really couldn't think of anyone. So
not at a program of that stature, certainly.
If anyone can think of someone who's doing what Joey Spallina is doing, come my way. But I was like, I think I was sitting on the toilet and I was thinking about it. I was like, no one's doing what this kid's doing. So that's how I spend my day, sitting on the toilet thinking about Joey Spallina. But yeah, other than that, Finn Thompson, great fucking guy. I mean, the freshman class is fucking fantastic. They have like 3 contributing, very good starters, Michael Leo as well. They remind me a lot of, you know what team they are? Like very, okay. Very similar to me is Virginia in 2017. So like that's when Dax Aiken, Matt Moore were freshmen. Michael Krause was like a sophomore. Alex Rode was on the team. Brian Conrad was a sophomore. Like a lot of like future first team All-Americans, but they were super young and contributing. Like they were the best players on the team. They were the team. Like I remember playing them in 2017 and I was like, they're going to win the national. After we like escaped with a 1-goal win, we were all talking like they're definitely going to win a national championship. So I think Cuse will have some games like that. I think they might win some games like that. And we'll get the same response when people play against Spallina and Thompson and Hiltz and see how, you know, good they actually are and they're just freshmen. So that's what they remind me of. Like, I would love for them to go on a Fab Five type run and go to the Final Four. Do I think that's realistic? No, but I think it's very exciting time. And the last person I'll touch on is Will Mark, the goalie. So he's like a transfer in. He's great. He's very, very good. Probably the best goalie since myself. Definitely better than Porter. he definitely adds he's a good piece for them because I think if they didn't have a goalie, like the games could get away from them. But having him is going to, like, he's not going to be a part of them winning national championship, but having him is good because he can kind of like keep them in games and let those guys like play closer games. So he's like a huge piece. But that is the missing piece. Syracuse has to find their goalie of the future. But yeah, that's my breakdown of Syracuse. It's been fantastic to watch them play. I'm really excited for the Maryland game this weekend.
Yeah, but he went 1 for 15. I mean, there's absolutely nothing I'm gonna add to that other than I really like watching Hiltz play. I love watching Canadians in college because I feel like they just get their asses kicked all summer in some junior B, junior A, and then they come back and are just able to do stupid stuff.
He's so good too, man. Like he moves around even though he's like 300 pounds and like has a mullet. He's like still quick and like he just needs an inch with his hands and can feed the ball. He's like a great feeder and shooter. So it's like I love watching him play too. But yeah, that's my two stroke off session. I've been waiting 3 weeks to say all that. So I'm glad I got off my chest.
Yeah, but he went 1 for 15. So let's not forget that. All right, God, people are so stupid. He was beating his I was seeing clips
of poking
like,
his defender.
Yeah. Damn. And that's the best defenseman on all of those teams. I don't care what program you are. The best defenseman at a program, probably a decent player.
Yeah, from high school to that. That was his first game. It's like, okay, like he's definitely good.
Who's he going to get? He's going to get Makar, right?
I know. I can't fucking wait.
Dude, that's like an iconic
22 versus number one.
That's like we got to get ahead of that and tweet that. I haven't seen any buzz about that. That's like the two biggest numbers in college across going head-to-head. When was the last time that happened?
Don't give Maryland that credit. Well, it never happened because Maryland gave their fucking number to a defenseman.
Well, I mean, what other program has a number? Notre Dame has 50, but that's only been around for like 5 years since Matt.
Isn't 43 like the Notre Dame defenseman number or no?
That's just because Matt Landis is really good.
Oh, they just have good defensemen. Okay.
Yeah, they just – that's.
I don't think any team has like a defenseman number. So –
Well, I'm like, what even are the big numbers of college across? One at Maryland. I mean, first off, it's 22 at Syracuse and then a fucking canyon.
Yeah.
So it honestly doesn't even matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter. All right. Anything else you want to do like rapid fire?
Yeah, rapid fire before we end on the cooling note. But February Duke's the worst team of all time. Ryan Brown retired. # he was my brother. We played against each other like 3 times. So I couldn't imagine suiting up without him. Dude, this ghetto Gary Gate account.
So good.
I started laughing during your Syracuse breakdown because I was watching one of his memes where he photoshops or he edits in a fart into a Quinn Kesnick broadcast. I just started laughing. He's the best funny meme account I've seen in lacrosse.
Yeah, it's great. Besides us.
And TD got put on Trust Fund Terry as a meme. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, no, I didn't, but I'll check it out.
Yeah, Trust Fund Terry. And then I got to get rolling here. The last thing, we're going to end on an important note here. Everybody who's been a fan of the show remembers intern Coolin. Colin Reich, unfortunately, his mother passed away recently. He's a member of the St. Joe's team, and they are using that to raise awareness for metastatic breast cancer. Generally speaking, metastatic breast cancer doesn't get a lot of the resources and fund allocations that just the umbrella, quote unquote, breast cancer research gets. So as you go through this college lacrosse season, keep St. Joe's in your prayers, keep Coolin, intern Coolin, who was a great kid. Keep him in your prayers, and we'll be pushing out some initiatives, whatever they do, we're going to throw our weight behind. So intern Coolin, goddamn, man, tough to even talk about, but we are going to support in really the only way we know how, which is helping you raise awareness and encouraging everybody that's a fan of our show to follow along with your initiative, your team support, and do our best to be here for the lacrosse community in support of your family.
Well said. Very well said.
I'm getting good at that. I mean, I just getting good at saying shit. So with that, we will log off and we will never see you again because this is the last episode. Super big bummer. So.